So welcome back, everybody, to another week of our Halacha Chaburah at Stern. So we're going to continue our discussions this week by beginning our preparation for Pesach, and we're going to discuss the mitzvah of Dalid Kosos, the obligation to drink 4 cups of wine on the night of the Seder. So where does this all come from? The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Chesam Ebeis, Kuf Tesam Ebeis, Kuf Yud Zayin, and a whole slew of places. The Gemara in Perek Arvei Pesachim establishes that there is a mitzvah derabbanon, a rabbinic obligation, to drink 4 cups of wine on the night of the 15th of Nisan, on the Leil HaSeder. And as we all know, the Shulchan Aruch codifies this mitzvah in Orach Chaim, Simin Tov Ayin Beis. So our agenda for tonight is to try to understand this mitzvah and all of its pertinent halachos, and we're going to conclude with a little bit of Divrei Machshava about what Arba Kosos contributes to our experience of the Seder as a whole. So the first issue that we're going to deal with is, again, like last time, we discussed the status, right, of Tainus Esther. Last time we discussed that. Tonight we're also going to discuss that in our first issue, which is the status of the mitzvah of Dalid Kosos. So I mentioned at the very beginning that the mitzvah of Dalid Kosos is a rabbinic mitzvah. It's a mitzvah derabbanan. It's not directly from the Torah. It's something that Chazal instituted. And there are some halachic consequences to the fact that this mitzvah is only a mitzvah derabbanan. So take the following example. How big, how large does your glass or cup need to be? How much wine does it need to hold? So there is a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph that says that whenever you have a koshel bracha, whenever you have a cup of wine that accompanies a bracha, so usually we have a koshel bracha for kiddush. That's like the most the most common example of a koshel bracha. Sometimes you'll also see at a table that a koshel bracha is used for benching. You've probably seen that before. So whenever you have a koshel bracha, the Gemara says that you need to have a measurement that's called a revi'is halug, a quarter of a lug worth of wine. So what exactly, then generally we colloquially, we call this a revi'is. So how much is a revi'is? So this was a debate amongst the poskim as to how much exactly a revi'is holds. So there are two different shiurim, there are two different measurements. And they go as follows. The Chazon Ish had very strict measurements in all of halacha. So he was he had more machmir views on measurements in halacha, and his revi'is was 5.3 ounces. In contrast, Reb Chaim Noeh, who was another one of the poskim, he had more lenient views of measurements in halacha in general, and his revi'is was only 3 ounces. So you have 5.3 ounces versus 3 ounces. So which one are we going to follow when it comes to Arba Kosos? How much wine does your glass need to hold? So the Mishnah Brura in his Bir Halacha and Simin Reish Ayin Aleph explains that how much you're going to need is going to depend on whether we're dealing with a mitzvah de oraisa, a biblical obligation, or a mitzvah de rabbana, a rabbinic obligation. When it comes to a mitzvah de oraisa, so then we're going to need to have the more machmir shir. When it comes to a mitzvah de rabbanan, we can suffice with the more lenient shir. So since Arba Kosos is a mitzvah de rabbanan, we can suffice with the more lenient shear, and you would only have to have a cup that holds 3 ounces worth of wine. It doesn't need to be a massive cup that holds 5.3 ounces of wine. It would only need to hold 3 ounces. And that's how we pass in halacha lemaisa. You just need to have a cup that holds 3 ounces. However, there is one significant exception to this rule, and that is in actually this year, the way that Pesach falls out this year. This year, Pesach falls out on a Friday night, meaning the first day of Pesach is on Shabbos, which means that the first kos of the Dalid Kosos that you're going to have on Friday night is going to also function as Kiddush for Shabbos. Now, Kiddush for Shabbos at nighttime is a mitzvah de'oraisa. The pasuk in Parashas Yisro says, Zachor es yom ha-Shabbos l'kadsho. And from that pasuk, we derive that there is a mitzvah de'oraisa to recite Kiddush on Friday night. So since the kos that you're going to use for Kiddush this Friday night is going to have a double function. On the one hand, it's going to be the first of the four kosos for Pesach. But on the other hand, it's also going to be the kos for Kiddush on Shabbos. And Kiddush on Shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So therefore, that kos in particular would need to hold 5.3 ounces, at least for the person who's making Kiddush. Okay, so to be very clear, if you and your whole family are sitting at the Seder together, so if only one person is making Kiddush, then only he needs to have a 5.3 ounce glass for that first cup. If everybody at the table is making Kiddush, then everybody should have that size for when they recite Kiddush. And then for Kosos 2, 3, and 4, which are not Kiddush, they're just part of Arba Kosos, for those you could have a lesser shear of only 3 ounces. Okay, is that clear? Any questions about that? I know it gets a little mathematical, but no? Yeah.
Can we add a question?
Yeah.
The same thing applies, it's for Havdalah, like a kosher Havdalah.
Good question. Okay, so the Rambam holds that Havdalah is also a mitzvah de'oraisa, but it's not brought down in Mishnah Brura that you would have to be machmir to have the bigger shiur for Havdalah. So in the Mishnah Brura, he quotes only that for Kiddush at night, you would have to have the bigger shiur. Okay? Okay, good question. All right, so that is our ramification of the fact that Arba Kosos is a mitzvah derabbanan. Now, why is it that we have four Kosos? Why not three? Why not five? Why dafka four? So most of us are probably familiar with the answer to this question. Anybody know offhand why four? They correspond to another number of four. So Rashi in Psachim, Daf Tzadi Tesom and Beis, based on the Yerushalmi, says that they correspond to the Arba Lashono Shel Geula. Right? We know the beginning of Parshas Bo says, Parshas Va'ira says, Vehotseisi V'Yitzalti V'Go'alti V'Lokachti. There are four Lashonos of Geula. So Rashi says that those four Lashonos are the reason why we have Arba Kosos. One Kos per Geula. Okay. So why am I sharing that with you? So obviously that's nice to know. It's nice to know why we have the number four, but there's also a practical, ramification to this. So pay careful attention to this. The Trumas HaDeshen, who we've quoted in the past, he says that the Arba Kosos correspond to expressions of freedom, of chirus, of geula. And that's what we just said. They're keneged the Dalid Lashono Shal Geula. And therefore, they're also linked to another mitzvah that we do on the night of the Seder, which is the consumption of matzah. Because matzah is also meant to commemorate the Exodus and the freedom from Mitzrayim. Right? Matzah al shum ma. Why do we have matzah? Because lo hispik b'tzeikom lahachmitz. Because when they left Mitzrayim, they didn't have time to let their dough rise. So the matzah commemorates the freedom that we experienced when we left Mitzrayim. And so too do Dalid Kosos. So they both share that common denominator. So the Trumas HaDeshen from that common denominator derives a very important halachic consequence. And this is codified in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Tov Ayin Beis. And that's as follows. Just as matzah needs to be eaten at nighttime, meaning after nightfall, after what we call Tzeis HaKochavim, so too the four kosos need to be drunk after nightfall. So the first kos, which as we said before is Kiddush, can be consumed only after Tzeis HaKochavim. Now that's very important, because that means that the first time that we can start our Seder is only after nightfall. So if we get back from Shul and it's not yet Tzeis HaKochavim, we would have to wait until we started the Seder, until Tzeis HaKochavim in order to start the Seder. Now, usually that's not going to be a problem, because usually when you go to Shul, you daven Mincha and daven Maariv, and you have a little bit of a speech, it'll be Tzeis HaKochavim by the time you get back. But I do remember that this was a particularly relevant halacha when there were all these outside minyanim during the heat of COVID, because people davened very quickly. They did Mincha, they did Maariv right away, and they came home and it wasn't yet Tzeis HaKochavim. So that year, it was very important to note that one had to wait until Tzeis HaKochavim in order to start the Seder, because we can only have the Arba Kosos after Tzeis HaKochavim, because just as matzah needs to be eaten at nighttime, so too the Dalet Kosos need to be consumed at nighttime. Okay. So these were more peripheral halachos around the Dalet Kosos. Now we're going to get to the nuts and bolts of the Dalet Kosos, and we're going to get into the whole reason for the mitzvah. Why was it that Chazal instituted this mitzvah of Dalet Kosos? So here, broadly speaking, there are two approaches that we could speak of, and we're going to see that in halacha, we try to accept both of them. The first one comes from the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, Perek Zayin. And I'll read for you from the source sheet. If you have the source sheet in front of you, you can follow along with me. It's in source number 7. The Rambam tells us, this is a famous Rambam, the whole dor v'dor chayev adam laharos es atmo ki ilu hu ba'atmo yotza ata mishu bin mitzrayim. In every generation, a person is obligated to display himself as if he or she left right there, right now, from the slavery of Mitzrayim. Shne'emar ve'osanu hutzi misham, because the pasuk says that Hashem brought us out of Mitzrayim, not just our forefathers, but us as well. Then in Halacha Zayin, in the very next Halacha, the Rambam infers and draws the practical ramifications of that obligation. Namely, there's an obligation to display ourselves as if we are mamish leaving Mitzrayim right now. And therefore, there are some things that we do on the night of the Seder in order to achieve that goal. What is one of them? Lefikach, therefore, kishesoid on the malayla azeh, tzarech lecho v'lishtos, v'u may save derecheres. Number one is that you have to do haseba. Maybe we'll speak about that another week. And then number two is v'kol echad ve'echad, bein anashim, Chayov lishtos balayla hazeh arba kosos shel yayin. Every single person, men, women, everybody, has to drink 4 cups of wine on the night of the Seder. So what do we see from that Rambam? For the Rambam, the drinking of the arba kosos is an expression of our experience of chayrus, of freedom, on the night of the Seder. The Dalet Kosos are meant to enable us to express the freedom that we feel. In a sense, it's a form of pirsume nisa. We experience a miracle that Hashem did for us by taking us out of Mitzrayim, and we display that to everybody else around the table by drinking 4 cups of wine, by doing something, namely drinking wine, that is of a freedom type of ilk. It's a chayrus type of thing to do. So as the Rambam noted, because this mitzvah is very much tied to the experience of the miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim, so not only are men obligated in the mitzvah, but women are as well. Now, why would I have thought that women would not have been obligated? Because we know generally that women are exempt from mitzvos aseh she'azman grama. Women are exempt from time-bound mitzvos. Dalet Kosos is certainly a time-bound mitzvah. You only have them on the night of the 15th of Nisan. So why are women obligated in this mitzvah if it's time-bound? So the Gemara in Pesachim explains because of the principle of af hein hayu ba'oso hanis. Not only were men taken out of Mitzrayim, but so too were women, so too were children. Everybody was taken out of Mitzrayim. So because everybody was included in the miracle, therefore everybody is obligated in the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, which is meant to express our experience of the miracle. Another consequence of the fact that Dalet Kosos expressed the experience of freedom is a practice probably that you know we're accustomed to or we've seen very often that the Rama codifies in Taf Ayin Gimel, which is that we pour for other people at the table. Right? If you have the balabayas, the head of the table, someone else pours on his behalf. Why? Because we treat him like a ben chorin, someone who doesn't need to pour for himself, but rather others take care of him. That's also another expression of the fact that the Dalet Kosos are meant to convey this feeling of cheiros. So that's approach number one. Dalet Kosos are meant to convey a derech cheiros and persume nisa. Approach number two comes from a comment of the Balei HaTosfos in Maseches Sukkah on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph, and that's what I have for you in source number 8. Tosfos there says, Lo tiknu dalet kosos, ela kedei lomar aleim halal ve'agada. The reason why Chazal instituted the mitzvah of arba kosos, drinking these four cups of wine, was so that we could have what we call an amira al hakos, which means as follows. On the night of the Seder, we do a number of recitations. We have Kiddush. We have Magid, namely the recitation of the Haggadah. We have Hallel. And we have we have benching and we have Hallel. So those are four different recitations that we have on the night of the Seder. Says Tosfos that the purpose of the Arba Kosos is to accompany those recitations. And when you have a cup of wine that you juxtapose to these various recitations, that adds significance to them. Instead of just saying them as words, you're saying them over a cup of wine, which makes it something more chashuv. It makes it something more significant and substantive, something more important. And the truth is that many of the halachos bear this out. So for example, the Shulchan Aruch in Taf Ayin Beis says that the wine that we use for Dalet Kosos should dafka be red as opposed to white. You would be yotze with white wine, but we try to get red wine. Why do we try to get red wine? Because red wine is more chashuv than white wine. It's of a higher stature. And from the fact that the Balei HaTosfos said that the whole purpose of the Dalet Kosos is to add stature to the recitations of the night, that it makes perfect sense that we're going to try to opt for the most chashuv type of wine. So these are two different approaches to the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. Is it that we're supposed to drink the Kosos to express freedom? Or is it that we're supposed to have the Kosos in order to accompany the recitations that we're saying throughout the night? Now, the truth is that there are actually some practical differences between these two approaches. So take the following as an example. And this is something that's developed at length by the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, who was Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik's uncle. So he is the Rosh Yeshiva of the Brisker Yeshiva, of the original Brisker Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So he develops at length this following practical difference between the approaches. Okay, Tosfos discusses as follows. Can you have one person drink the Dalet Kosos and be motzi everybody else at the table? We don't do this, because halacha l'maisa we paskin that everybody needs to drink arba kosos. But Tosfos considers that maybe one person could drink the Dalet Kosos and be motzi everybody else. Now, whether that would work would depend on which approach we take to the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is about having an amira al hakos, if it's about juxtaposing a cup of wine to the various recitations, then I could argue that one person can have the kosos, and his four kosos will create the framework for the recitations of everybody at the table. But not everybody would need to drink the Dalet Kosos. However, if I think that drinking the Dalet Kosos is my personal expression of freedom on the night of the Seder, so then everyone at the table is going to have to drink those cups, because it's the drinking of the cups that expresses that experience. So that would be a practical difference between these two approaches. Okay, so sof kol sof. You know, at the end of the day, we try to be concerned for both of these approaches. And let's now see some practical applications of these approaches in the different details of the halacha of the Dalet Kosos. So we're going to go through right now, in the time that we have remaining, some of the central questions about the details of the halacha. Okay? So let's start with the following. How much do you have to drink? We started at the beginning by talking about how much the cup has to hold. But how much do you actually have to drink? So I'm skipping a little bit of the background here because we're a little short on time. But this is a machlokas between the Rishonim. Tosfos thinks that all you would have to drink is a revius. So if your cup held 3 ounces, you would have to drink 3 ounces. If your cup held 4 ounces, you would still only have to drink 3 ounces. But there are other Rishonim, like the Ramban, who say that it depends on how big the cup is. So if you have a cup that holds 4 ounces, you would have to drink the majority of that cup. According to some, you would even have to drink the entirety of the cup. So let's say, for example, you had a really, really big cup. Let's say you had a cup that held 6 ounces. Okay? So for Tosfos, all you have to drink is 3 ounces. That's it. Never changes. It's always 3 ounces. But for the Ramban, it's going to change based on how big the cup is. The bigger the cup, the more you're going to have to drink, because you have to drink the majority of the cup. So what does this debate depend on? Like, what were they arguing about? So what the Achronim explain is that this debate really centers on the different approaches to the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is about drinking the cup, so then in order to be considered that you drank the cup, you have to drink at least the majority of it, if not the entire thing. However, if the cup is meant only to accompany that which you're saying on the night of the Seder, so then all you would have to do is have a taste of the cup to show that, the general rule in halacha is that hamevarich tzarech sheyit'om. Whenever you make a bracha on a kosher bracha, you have to at least have a taste of the wine. And a taste would be at least 3 ounces. But you wouldn't have to have the whole cup, because the mitzvah is not to drink. It's to have the cup accompany the recitations. So that would be another practical ramification of the two different approaches that we said. So how do we pasken halacha lemaisa? So fundamentally, you can be lenient for the position of the Tosfos, and all you would have to do is drink 3 ounces, no matter how big your cup is. However, what's best is to have a smaller cup. You shouldn't have one of those like humongous goblets, you know, that you're never going to be able to drink the entire cup 4 different times. You should have a cup that's on the smaller end, and that way you can drink the entire cup and thereby be yotze all of the shitos. You'll have 3 ounces, or a little bit more than that, and you'll have consumed the entire cup, and that way been yotze the shita of the Ramban and the Rosh as well. That's what the Mishnah Brura says in Simin Tov Ayin Beis Sif Lamed Gimel. Okay, another very interesting application, and this is something that people always, always want to know about. When we say that you have to have arba kosos, do you have to have wine or can you have grape juice? Let's say you're the type of person who doesn't like wine. Or let's say even better, let's say you're the type of person that wine is harmful. Like it makes you very lightheaded and it's going to make you, you know, fall asleep. So do you still have to have wine or can you have grape juice? So the background to this is that for Kiddush on Shabbos, the Gemara says that one can use grape juice. The Gemara there is talking about like totally natural grape juice. Like you take a grape and you squeeze it out and you use the juice. That's not really what modern day grape juice is. Modern day grape juice is something that's processed that can't ever become wine. But many poskim nonetheless say that you can use that for Kiddush on Shabbos. Can you use it for the Dalet Kosos at the Seder? So this was a machlokas between the poskim. Rav Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that one should not use grape juice at the Seder, but rather should only use wine. Why is that the case? If we use grape juice for Kiddush on Shabbos, why can't we use grape juice at the Seder? So says of Moshe Feinstein, it's because of the role of the Arba Kosos. The Arba Kosos are meant to convey an experience, a sense, a feeling of chayrus, of freedom, of being a free person. Wine conveys that experience. Grape juice, not as much. So says of Moshe Feinstein, one really should have wine. However, there were many other very important poskim who disagreed. The Brisker Rav, the Chazon Ish, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they all held that grape juice would also suffice for Dalet Kosos on the night of the Seder. So, when push comes to shove, what should we do? So I would say as follows. If it makes no difference to you whether to have wine or grape juice, you should absolutely have wine. However, what if you're someone who doesn't like wine? So first of all, if the wine is going to cause you like to need to rest and like, you know, you're going to leave the Seder in the middle and go to the couch in the other room and you're going to miss and all of that. So then for sure you should have grape juice. No doubt you should have grape juice if that's what wine is going to cause to you. And even if wine's not going to do that to you, but rather it's just like you like grape juice more than wine, there is still a lot of room to say that you could be lenient to have the grape juice. That's certainly the way it seems from the Mishnah Brura. And Rav Rimon, in his Sefer, I don't know if anybody has the Rav Rimon Haggadah, it's very, very good. In his Sefer, he also says like that, that from the Mishnah Brura, it seems that even if you're someone who doesn't like wine, you can be lenient and rely on the opinions that you can drink grape juice instead. Okay. I want to make one last ha'ara before we get to the inyani machshava, which is just in terms of how we drink the cup of wine, or the cup of grape juice, if we're you know of that category. So the Rama and the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura, they all point out that it's best to have the cup in like one fell swoop. So that doesn't mean that you have to have the entire 3 ounces in one gulp. That would be pretty difficult. But what's best to do is not to have like a hefsek. Don't have an interruption in terms of the drinking. Like, you know, you have a little bit and then you put it down and you schmooze with the person on your side and then you have the rest. That's not really the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to have the cup, keep your lips on the edge of the cup and finish the cup in a normal fashion. That's what's best to do so that there are no interruptions in how much one in terms of drinking the required amount for the Arba Kosos. Okay. So what do we see from this whole sugya of Arba Kosos? So we delved very much into the two perspectives of the Rambam and the Balei HaTosos. The Rambam told us that the Arba Kosos are meant to express freedom. And we saw that there were a number of halachic consequences to that. And the truth is that from the Rambam's explanation, what we see is that the night of the Seder is given to us to relive and retell the story, not only with our words, not only by speaking out what happened, but also by showing it. and by showing how we feel based on what we're experiencing. In my Rebbe's words, in Rav Rosenzweig's words, it's a multimedia presentation. It's not just that you say, but you also do things in order to convey what exactly we're experiencing on this night. And the consumption of the Dalet Kosos accentuates that feeling and experience. So much so that we know, as the Shulchan Aruch says, that even the poorest amongst us, even the poor in Klal Yisrael, have to stretch themselves thin in order to procure wine for this mitzvah. And in addition to that, what the Balei HaTosfos are pointing out, in terms of their perspective, that the Arba Kosos are meant to accompany the different recitations that we have on the night, is that the Arba Kosos are a way that we organize the story. We divide the night into four different sections. Each kos constitutes its own division, its own section of the night. And in that way, we're conveying the story in a manner that's not random. It's not happenstance. It's done in a very targeted and conscious and thoughtful way in order to achieve really the ultimate goal, which is Vihigadta Levincha, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah to tell over the story and share the experience of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us on that night of Tesvav Nisan. The hashgacha that we experienced, the divine providence that carried us, and that serves as the bedrock for the tradition, for the mesorah that we're passing down from parent to child on that night, the night where we educate everybody around us what it means to have that special relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay, I wish everybody a great rest of the night.